Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. I just wanted to start out to get a feel for the room. So I'm going to take a little bit of a poll. So if you are a youth with a disability, can you click on the green checkbox or the yes answer to the poll? Any youth with disabilities in the room? Okay, looks like I don't see anybody who said that yes, they are a youth with a disability. So let me ask another question. So who on here is a service provider working with youth with disabilities? If you're a service provider working with youth with disabilities, if you can click on the checkbox, the green check mark. Okay. Or any sort of teacher, anybody who's working with youth with disabilities. The green checkbox, right? I see a few of you have clicked on that. Okay. All right, so that can give me a little bit of an idea of who you guys are and what you're all about. Today I'm going to be talking about our Youth Transition Toolkit, which is an online resource guide for youth with disabilities who are transitioning into adulthood. So I'm going to start first by giving you a little bit of the background about myself, and then we're going to go into the project background about what the project's all about, and then also our website. We're going to go into the toolkit, the Transition Toolkit website design and features, and this is the website that's actually geared towards youth with disabilities themselves. And then we're going to go over the lesson plans and activities. And these are materials that are for service providers who want to lead activities both in the classroom or in workshops. So it sounds like my audio is breaking up. Do most people have a difficult time hearing my audio? Are a few of you? I noticed Jim. Okay, it's kind of hard to hear me. How is that? Is that better?
Hi, this is Shannon. I think maybe the noise is getting louder. So maybe if everyone could mute their computer speakers, because sometimes that creates a feedback loop. Okay. Rachel?
Yeah, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Okay, so just to summarize a little bit, I'm just going to talk a little bit about what we're going to be going over in the webinar today. First, I'm going to be giving a little bit of a background on who I am and why this work is important to me, and then talk a little bit about the organization that I work for. And then we're going to go into our Youth Transition Toolkit website. This is a website that is geared towards youth with disabilities themselves. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the topics covered in that website. And then I'm going to talk about our lesson plans and activities that we've developed. And these are materials that are for service providers who want to lead activities both either in the classroom or in youth workshops. And then I'm going to take some time to demonstrate the website and just give you an idea of the look and feel of the website and how to navigate it. So with regard to my personal background and why this work is important to me is that I went through the transition process myself a while ago. I was born with spinal muscular atrophy, which is a type of muscular dystrophy, and so I've used a wheelchair since the age of 5. And so I've used personal care assistance from my parents ever since I can remember. So they've always provided that for me, but I was always on their schedule. So I was really, really ready to move out on my own, become more independent, and for me, going to college was kind of my ticket out of the house. I mean, I love my parents, but I was ready to fly the coop, so to speak. And so I was lucky in that I went into a program called the Disabled Students Residence Program at UC Berkeley, and that provided 24-hour-a-day personal care attendance for me. So that really helped with my transition, but it was a big learning process. And the minute I turned 18, I also went on Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, as well as Medi-Cal and In-Home Supportive Services, or IHSS, which paid for all my personal care attendance. And so that was really helpful in supporting my transition into living independently. And for me, I really looked at SSI and the income that I was receiving from that is more of an employment support. This wasn't something that I wanted to live on for the rest of my life, because I really did want to work and I really wanted to contribute back to the community, but I was really nervous about how my benefits were going to be affected by going to work. So it took a lot of research, and I finally found out about a lot of different work incentive programs out there. And so I guess the bottom line that I'm trying to get at is that it's really important to be able to advocate for yourself throughout the whole transition process. And there are a lot of resources that are out there that can help make the transition as smooth as possible, but a lot of times they're hard to find if you don't know where to look, and they're all over the place, and you got to talk to the right person. And so that's a big reason as to why we developed our Youth Transition Toolkit, is to make it a lot easier, that it's a one-stop guide for where you can find information on all the different aspects of transition. So the organization that I work for is CHIP, or the California Health Incentives Improvement Project, and we are federally funded from a grant from the Federal Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, and this is administered by San Diego State University's InnerWork Institute. And the overall goal of our project is to increase the employment of youth and adults with disabilities. And so we really have a lot of different projects that are geared towards supporting youth with disabilities and becoming successful and empowered adults, including developing self-advocacy skills and, like I said, giving them access to information and resources, all in one place. And in order to do this work, because it is kind of a big thing of supporting increased employment of youth as well as adults with disabilities, is that we worked with a lot of different state departments and nonprofit organizations. So we really do look at this as a collaborative project. So right now, just to give you guys a little bit of an idea of what I'm going to be talking about and give you a little sneak preview about a video that we've developed that is complementing our website. Our Youth Transition Toolkit website is that we recognize that it's in order to support employment and independent living of youth with disabilities, it's important to help them as well as their parents know what's possible and to really help change the I can't attitude into the I can. So we developed a video featuring six youth with disabilities telling their transition stories and giving tips on avoiding some of the pitfalls and issues that many people run into as they're preparing to transition into adulthood. So I believe that Shannon is going to pull up the video. We're just going to show you a little bit of a teaser of the employment vignettes for our Youth Transition Toolkit video. The video is called Things Are About to Change. And so what you're going to need to do is Shannon just pulled up the web tour. And so you're going to have to scroll down a little bit and then press play. And it is closed captioned. And again, these are just the vignettes that are talking about employment. So if everybody can press play, make sure you're on mute. And then this is about 2 minutes 40 seconds. So I'm going to press play now, and then we'll reconvene in about 3 minutes. Okay, so that was a little sneak preview of the video that we've developed. And the video is, it was actually developed as a collaboration with Department of Rehab, and it was using their ARRA funds. So all the videos should be up on our Youth Transition Toolkit website, hopefully within a couple of weeks. And so really what the video is intended to do is to really, as I mentioned, change attitudes and help motivate youth to start taking those steps toward a successful transition into adulthood. And one of these pieces is ideally going to our Youth Transition Toolkit website, www.tknlyouth.info or .org, either one works. And with regard to the website, we worked with a lot of different subject matter experts in creating the website. A lot of different state departments as well as nonprofit organizations, including the California Foundation for Independent Living Centers, who's helping us put on this webinar today. And what I think is really unique about the website is that we also worked with youth with disabilities in helping to develop a lot of the content and helping to make sure that the look and feel was really reaching youth. So we have a few different chapters that were actually written by youth themselves, and this really follows along with the disability rights movement philosophy of nothing about us without us, or in this case, nothing about youth without youth. And so the content of the website is really designed to help empower youth. And I can't say that enough. I really feel like empower is, my word of the year. I think it's so important to be able to arm youth with the information and resources that they need to be successful. And the website is also unique in that the target audience is youth themselves. It's ages 12 to 28 plus, because for some youth, the transition process lasts a little bit longer. And a lot of different websites are out there geared towards service providers, but this one really is geared towards youth themselves. There are also tips for parents and guardians because they play a really important role in helping or hindering youth in their transition process. So we do have tips on how they can help support their child in making that transition. And of course, the information is also going to be relevant to teachers, transition specialists, and any service provider who is working with youth with disabilities. So there are six main chapters of the Youth Transition Toolkit, including education, independent living, employment, finances, healthcare, and social and recreation. And I'm going to go over a little bit more about exactly what's covered in each of those chapters. And in some cases, and the website's viewable, or the toolkit materials are viewable in either HTML website pages, so this is actually, on the website, or you can also download PDFs of each chapter. And you can download separate worksheets. And when I demonstrate the website, I'll show you a little bit about that. So the education chapter, the purpose is really twofold. So it's first empowering youth who are still in high school through person-centered transition planning. There's also worksheets to help youth with leading their own IEP or Individualized Transition Plan, ITP. And so I think that, so it's first empowering youth while they're in high school. And then the second purpose of the education chapter is providing information to assist in the transition to post-secondary education. And post-secondary education is, a fancy way of saying any education that you're going to go to after high school. This can be community college, four-year college, or vocational school or vocational training of some sort. So there's information to help you understand the differences between high school and college. In college, the bell doesn't ring. Your teachers don't remind you to do your homework. They just expect you to get it done. And then there's also information on where to find different financial aid, sources of financial aid and scholarships that are specifically for youth with disabilities, and just general tips on how to succeed in college. So the independent living chapter, we really started out this chapter is giving a background on disability history and the independent living movement, because I think it's really important for you to know the rich history that we come from and how we get our rights to live independently. There's also information on deciding where to live or, you know, how to find accessible or affordable housing, housing-related rights, tips on renting a house or apartment, as well as finding roommates. And then there's also resources on transportation options, including fixed route service like bus or light rail, or signing up for paratransit. And just as a side note, since, you know, a lot of people with disabilities don't drive, myself included, you know, I've always chosen to live in cities where there is good public transportation, where it's easy to walk to restaurants and shopping and all of that kind of thing. And so I think it's just, you know, helping you figure that out and really think about their options. And then there's also resources on finding and paying for a personal care attendant. This is, you know, someone to help you get up in the morning, go and get into bed at night, help you clean your room, whatever you're unable to do on your own. And then there's also worksheets to help with goal setting and checklists to help you prepare for your independence. The employment chapter, now this I think is a really, really important one. It's a big one. It's because having a job can really help support you in living in an apartment and affording to live on your own, going out to dinner and really do the things that you want to do. So there are resources to help with career planning, how to choose a career, and some job search resources, and then different services that can help with getting a job, like Department of Rehab, as well as one-stop career centers. And then another big one that a lot of people with disabilities face is worrying about the impact of employment on benefits. So, you know, how's that going to affect my Medi-Cal or my SSI? And the Disability Benefits 101 website is a really good resource on that. So we really refer a lot to DB 101 in order for you to get that information. It's current, it's up to date. And then there's also information on your right to job accommodations, and then, you know, to help you decide when to disclose your disability when you're working with an employer, because it is a very personal process. There's also tips on resume writing and successful interviewing techniques, different ways to build work experience, including volunteerism and internship programs for students with disabilities. And then lastly, personal assistance services at work and what the employer may be responsible for versus what you may be responsible for. The finances chapter has a lot of information to help you begin to manage their own money. So it's basic budgeting, how to balance a checkbook, paying bills, tracking your spending, which I know I'm not very good at, but it's an important skill to have. And then different tips on opening up a bank account and questions that you should ask. And then also credit cards and how to avoid getting into debt. And then different worksheets that can help with financial planning. So for those of you who do have a chronic health disability or a physical disability where you have to see the doctor, or even just for those of you who just need to see a doctor for regular checkups, it's important to know how to advocate for yourself when talking to the doctor and that you know what your health-related needs are. So the healthcare chapter has information on, you know, keeping track of your medications and making your doctor's appointments and communicating with your doctor, just different ways that you can start taking charge of your own needs. There's basic insurance information, including Medi-Cal, the fact that you can get health care through employment or your family's plan. Different worksheets on handling your own health care needs. And then there's tips for parents on how they can help empower their child to start handling their own needs. So it can be like tips to help you talk to your doctor on your own, or, you know, being responsible for ordering your own medication refills. These are just things that you can share with your parents to help, you know, them support you and empower you to start, you know, living your own life and being more responsible for yourself. The social and recreation chapter has information on different clubs and activities that are specifically designed for youth with disabilities, and so that includes the Youth Organizing Disabled and Proud program, YO, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with since this is a webinar for the YO program. And then information on the Youth Leadership Forum, or YLF, which is also a fantastic program for youth with disabilities that are high school juniors and seniors. People First is another really cool advocacy organization for individuals with developmental disabilities. And then the social and recreation chapter also covers information about different adaptive sports programs and how to find one in your area, different ways to become more involved in your community, and then tips on traveling with a mobility impairment. I know for myself, it's always kind of scary when going on the plane and, you know, waving goodbye to my wheelchair when they put it into, you know, the belly of the plane. But there are ways that you can help advocate for yourself when you're traveling. I make sure that everything goes as smoothly as possible. So with that, I wanted to take a break to make sure that, or to see if you guys have any questions at this point. So if you have a question, if you can click that raise hand button down below the list of participants. It's the hand button with the green arrow on it. Okay, I don't think there's any questions at this point, so I'll just keep going. And if there is a question, you can feel free to raise your hand, and I'll stop. So at this point, we have a total of 25 pilot sites who are testing out both our Youth Transition Toolkit website as well as our lesson plan materials. And I'll get into the lesson plan materials in just a minute and let you know exactly what those are. We have the majority of the pilot sites are high schools and high school districts that are testing out the materials for us and giving us feedback. And I believe there's somebody on here that's from one of our pilot sites, so I'm excited to see Jim here. We also have a college to career program. That's a program for students with intellectual disabilities down in San Diego. That's a pilot site. We have an independent living center, a family empowerment center, a center for excellence in developmental disabilities, and a few other community-based organizations providing transition services. Now, I also since we don't have a whole lot of independent living centers or other community-based organizations that have used the materials, if you're interested in becoming a pilot site, please let me know. At this point, we do have a lot of high schools, but if any independent living centers are out there that are interested in using some of these lesson plan materials and activities, please contact me. I'd love to chat with you about how we can help support you in doing that. So the lesson plan materials are really geared towards teachers, transition specialists, independent living center staff, or any staff that are working with youth with disabilities to help them lead transition-related activities. And so the main goal of these lesson plans is to lead activities that can really help empower youth, help them take those next steps in planning for their future, helping them build their self-advocacy skills, and then also ideally leading you to our Youth Transition Toolkit website for more information and resources. So right now, all the materials for our lesson plans are located in the secure section of our Youth Transition Toolkit website. So right now, they're only available to pilot sites, and we're going to get all the feedback from pilot sites, revise the materials, make them the best product possible, and then release them again to anyone by the middle of 2012. So I'm hoping by around May of 2012, they'll be available to everybody. And we really can't emphasize enough that these lesson plans and activities really give facilitators or teachers or anybody who's going to be leading the activities complete flexibility in how they choose to use the lesson plans and the activities. They can lead only certain activities or topic areas, so they can only lead activities on employment because that's a really big topic for the youth that they're working with, or they really need a lot of planning around that. Or they can just pick and choose what really fits with the population that they're working with. And then the teachers or facilitators of the activities can also modify any of the activities to fit with the abilities of the youth that they're working with. So with regard to the materials, we have a lesson plan overview document, and this is kind of the go-to resource guide. It's a comprehensive summary with instructions on leading any of the lesson plan materials, including how they're organized, as well as providing tips on how to enhance some of the activities. So we have a list of suggested guest speakers that you may want to think about inviting, and then, you know, showing the video, that our things are about to change video, you know, like, for example, showing those employment vignettes before you lead an activity around employment. And there's a few other ideas in there as well. The workshop planning tips document was actually a document that we modified from something that CFILC had developed that we really wanted to provide as a guide for any community-based organization, including an independent living center or a family empowerment center. And this is a guide for them on how to organize workshops. And so we provided a lot of information on how to recruit youth participants, who may be interested in attending workshops using these activities, and then different tips for success for getting youth to the table. So finding a youth co-facilitator, providing food. I know I am a lot more likely to come to a meeting if there's food, and so youth are also a lot more likely to come to a workshop if there's food. And then assisting with transportation and tips for doing that, tips for making your venue as accessible as possible, and things like that. So again, this is a document that can be used by community-based organizations. So right now I'm just going to go over a few of our lesson plan activities. And right now I'm just providing a brief snapshot of some examples of the activities that we've developed. It's not a comprehensive list of all of them. It's just kind of a few of them that I thought you might be interested in hearing about. The Futures Wide Open is an activity in the education lesson plan where youth fill out worksheets to help prepare them for leading their own IEP or transition planning meeting. Oh, I have a question. Okay. Oh, I see Dolores. Yes, okay. Is there a way for the moderator to pop up an extra window and you could walk through the site that way as well? Yes, I'm going to go through the demonstration of the website as soon as I'm just done going over some of the materials. Okay, can I demonstrate from the employment section too? Yes, I can do that. So I'm going to demonstrate the employment section. I'm going to demonstrate some of the Youth Transition Toolkit website, and then I'll also talk a little bit more about the lesson plans. So the Planning for College activity is learning about different university and community college supports and, you know, how to request accommodations, how to prepare to transition into college, and think about what's important to you as you're planning for that process. Expanding My Training Horizons is for youth who may not be thinking about the traditional community college, either a two-year or four-year college setting. So it's researching vocational training options that are consistent with their interests, including ROP programs, it's regional occupational programs, trade schools, internships, and volunteerism, just different ways they can continue their training process in a subject that's interesting to them that they're interested in pursuing for a job or a career. The independent living lesson plan activities. Now, I think these are ones that are my favorite, to be honest. The Untold History is a activity that we developed where we've developed a PowerPoint on disability history, including the independent living and disability rights movement, and then also, help facilitators lead the youth through a discussion of additional advocacy efforts that are still needed. So, yes, we've come a long way since, the 50s and 60s, but there's still a lot of movement that needs to happen, and exactly what is that? The models of disability activity is all about understanding the difference between the medical model and the social model of disability. And it's really, looking at the medical model as being the traditional way that we view disability as a problem residing within the individual and can only be changed through cure or elimination of the disability. And versus the social model, which is a new way of looking at disability, where the way to so-called, fix the problem of disability is to change the way that the environment or the individual reacts in the environment, or the environment reacts to the individual. So by accommodating, providing accommodations, changing attitudes of larger society, things of that nature, and how those really impact how youth perceive their own disability. And how learning about the social model really changes the way that they think about themselves and their the way that society reacts to them. The thinking about disability is actually an activity that we've used a lot in the Youth Leadership Forum, where youth write on one post-it note something that's more positive about their disability, and on another post-it note they write something that's more challenging, and then they fold it up and they put them all into separate hats, and then youth pick out another person's post-it note and read it aloud, and then they can talk about, the person who wrote the post-it note can disclose that that was theirs, or they don't have to disclose it. So it's an activity in disclosure, and then it's also an activity about, a shared experience of disability. So even for individuals who have very different disabilities, a lot of times they have a lot in common, and so they'll say, oh, hey, I've experienced that. I've, felt left out from at parties or, whatever the case may be. So I think it's a really powerful exercise. And then there's also another independent living activity that's all about setting goals. So it's looking at different programs and services that can help with gaining independence, including regional center independent living services, in-home supportive services, and independent living centers and the services that they provide, and then setting goals and next steps to help youth plan for their transition to living independently. So we did develop a PowerPoint on all of those different programs that facilitators can use to help explain them. The employment lesson plan activities, the connecting the dots activity is where youth brainstorm any of their personal barriers to employment and what's holding them back from getting or finding or keeping a job, and then learning about different services and programs that can help break down some of these barriers, whether it's Department of Rehabilitation, regional centers, one-stop career centers, and then looking at, connecting with those different programs. Employment rights is where there's a presentation on different employment and anti-discrimination laws, so it's learning about those and how youth can help be supported in the workplace, and then having some personal planning relating to disability disclosure, which is a very personal process, and then also requesting accommodations and how they can go about doing that, and also just knowing what accommodations that they need. The resume writing workshop is a workshop to begin the process of writing a resume. So it's looking at those different resume styles and then brainstorming what they can include in a resume. And so I think a lot of youth think that because they don't have a paid job that, they really don't have anything to put on a resume, but it's looking at what volunteer activities they do and, what they've done at school and what they've been involved in that they can put on their resume. The finances lesson plan activities is we first wanted to make it known about a curriculum that's already available called Money Smart for Young Adults. That's a free curriculum that's designed by the FDIC to help youth learn basic money management skills. And we didn't want to reinvent the wheel because this is already out there. It's already available. It's available in a lot of different alternative formats, including Braille. And again, it's free. So we have instructions for how to order that curriculum. And then we're also developing a few other activities, including one called Disability Benefits 101, Planning Your Future. That's all about looking at how to navigate the DB 101 website. And you know, going through a calculator demonstration where they can help plan for how benefits will be affected by work. Then there's also one on work incentive programs. It's called Work Incentive Programs, Working It. I'm really amused by these titles. Hopefully youth are too, but I'm not sure. And so it's all about, this activity is all about understanding basic information about Social Security cash benefit programs and how these programs are affected by paid employment. So it's really looking at the details around this. And then this also provides tips for keeping their benefits in order and keeping track of this information and then avoiding an overpayment once they do go to work. So it's tips for that and how you interact with Social Security as well as Medi-Cal. So now I'm going to do a web tour of the website. Let's see here. Just bear with me for a second while I pull this up. Okay, so hopefully everybody sees the website. And you may want to, if you click on the top left-hand corner of the website, you can kind of expand it to make it bigger. Of that web tour window, you can expand it by clicking on the corner and then dragging it. So that way you can see more of the whole website. So I'm going to click on, I'm going to first click on the employment section. And it looks like it's a little bit funky on my end. Hopefully you guys can see it okay. But at the top, there's a bunch of different tabs for each subject. Education, independent living, employment, finances, healthcare, social and recreation, and then we have a resources tab. And the resources tab is where you can go to download entire PDFs of each chapter as well as the different worksheets. So you can navigate the website by going to the modules at the very top. So I could click on starting a job search. And then you can read about that. And then if you scroll all the way to the bottom, you can also just read through the entire chapter by clicking on the next button with the green arrow. So next, the next module is making work for you. And click on that. And then it goes to the next section. So you can pick and choose which ones you want to read, or you can just read through the whole thing by clicking next. Let's see here. I'm going to click on the education chapter. And I just want to show you how you can download some of the different worksheets. So on the right-hand side here, where it says IEP meeting in small letters, you can click on that, and it will download the entire PDF of that worksheet. So you can print it out and use it that way. Okay, and then I'm going to go to the Resources tab. And here's where you can print entire versions of each section by just clicking on, say, the education section. You can print that whole chapter in a PDF. Or you can click on and download individual worksheets. So you could just download that IEP script worksheet by going to the IEP script worksheet, and that would be the PDF there. Okay, so hopefully that gives you an idea of how it's organized. I am also going to just show you guys the lesson plan materials. This is, again, the secure section. It's only available to pilot sites at this point. But again, if you're an independent living center or other community-based organization that's interested in helping us test out these materials and providing us with feedback, definitely contact me. So, as an example, I'm just going to go to the independent living lesson plan materials. And if you look at the activity, you can either download the entire lesson plan by going to the independent living lesson plan, and that's going to have all the different activities that are in that independent living topic area. And we'll provide instructions for leading each of those activities. And we try to make the instructions as comprehensive and as easy to follow as possible so that you don't have to spend a lot of time going through it and preparing for it. It's kind of like all there. So I'm going to download just the one activity, the Untold History. I'm going to open that file. Oh, whoops. I guess it doesn't show it on the lesson plan. But you can download that entire activity, and it gives step-by-step instructions as to how to lead it. And then all the materials that are needed for the activity are available on here. So there's the disability history PowerPoint, and we include talking points in the notes section of the slide, as well as a separate Word document that you could print out and read along as you're going through the PowerPoint. So hopefully that gives you guys a little bit of an idea of what both our lesson plans and our Youth Transition Toolkit website are all about. So with that, I'd like to take any questions. If you have a question, you can click the raise hand button. All right, I see one here, Dolores. Okay, can I close the mod window? It's showing a blank. Okay, does that work? Okay, cool. So does anybody have any questions? You can raise your hand. Okay, Dolores, do you have a question? Okay, perfect. I'll wait for you to type it out. Does anybody else have any questions that you want to ask either on the teleconference? I think if you press *6, you can unmute your line, or if you have a question that you want to ask using your microphone. Okay, Jim. Will I be adding materials and lesson plans? Right now, all of the materials are up on our website in the secure section for the lesson plans. So right now, we've pretty much finalized those. We're just writing a couple more of the finances activities, but all the other ones should be up there. And Jim, I know you're a pilot site, so I believe hopefully you've been getting the emails, but if not, contact me and we can figure it all out. But once I get feedback from all the pilot sites within, you know, the next few months or so, if there's a big gap that we're not addressing, and we have asked that in all the evaluation plans, then we really do want to make sure that we add additional materials or activities if they're needed. So you know, if there's something that you guys think really should be on there, or if you've developed anything that you have available, and this goes out to anybody who's on the webinar, please contact me. I'm more than happy to add more things and to, you know, update and improve in whatever ways possible. So we are definitely open to that. We want to make the best product possible. So hopefully that answered your question. Okay. And Jim just said he said the video is great. We'll contact you soon. Need to go. Okay. Dolores, did you have your question typed out yet? Dolores said that she's used this resource at a local transition fair. Generally, parents are there getting the information for their youth. The site is very youth-friendly. How can we encourage parents to allow their child to navigate the site independently? This is a larger issue of parents wanting to, parents in general. But what is some advice I may have related to the site in particular to really encourage parents to allow their child to take the lead role when exploring the site? Wow, that's a big question. So I think that is, you know, a pretty prevalent issue that's been happening. And I think a lot of parents, you know, they mean well and they mean the best, but, you know, how do they really start helping their child take the reins, essentially, of their life? And, you know, I think part of it can be youth working with other youth and, you know, like having those workshops and having, you know, I know a lot of ILCs are working with youth, so it's, you know, helping them use the site on their own. And ideally, you know, then the youth can go to their parents and say, hey, look, I checked out this website. It's been great. Or, you know, and that parents realize that their youth can use it. I think that's the biggest issue, is them not believing that they can use it or that they can start planning for their own life. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I would also open it up to see if anybody else has any ideas. Because I think that, you know, it is a pretty prevalent issue. Well, I don't see anybody else having any other ideas, and I'm sorry, I wish I had a more solid suggestion for you. If you want to call me, I'd love to kind of talk it through with you and kind of maybe we can brainstorm together. Because I'd love to get your ideas. Oh, I see somebody here. Kimberly posted, as a former youth with a medical disability, my parents were afraid to inform me. As a parent now, I want my children to stay children as long as possible. It's a delicate balance for each family to determine themselves. Yeah, I think you're right on target there, Kimberly. Thank you for that. And I know, you know, one other thing is that for some parents, maybe it's also working with their local family empowerment center. Sometimes those centers can help parents, or, you know, and maybe it's also hearing it from another parent. Like, you know, you're saying, Kimberly, now that the tables have turned, you know, you really understand what the situation is like. So maybe it's also having them connect with other parents and having parents who have had their child start, you know, their own planning process and become more empowered. So are there any other questions or suggestions for Dolores? Okay, I don't think so. So Shannon, I guess, are we done? Is there any other things that you wanted to say to wrap up?
Yes, thanks,
Rachel.
No, I just wanted to say thank you so much to all the participants who attended this webinar, and especially to Rachel who presented the webinar today.
After you kind of log out of the room, you're going to have a sort of survey pop up on in front of the screen. And if we would really appreciate it if you just, it's really short, it's like 5 questions, and just asking what you thought of the you know, webinar, and any feedback you give us would be really helpful in helping us create better webinars in the future. So we really value your input, and so you could just take a couple of minutes or seconds just to fill out that survey. We would really appreciate it. And so I think we are done unless there's additional questions for Rachel. But you could, as you see, she has her contact information, so you could email her directly. And if you guys have any questions for me, I'll be happy to answer. But again, thank you so much for participating. Bye.
Thank you, everybody.